Saturday with Colm O'Mungon on RTÉ Radio 1.
Welcome back. Áine Kerr in for Colm. We're joined by Charlie McConlogue, Minister of State with Responsibility for Sports and Postal Service, and Fianna Fáil, TD for Donegal, Lynn Boylan, Sinn Féin, MEP for Dublin, and Patrick Tobin, Leader of Into and TD for Meath West. We do advise some audience discretion for this next piece because audiences across the globe have been gripped this week by the English drama series Adolescence on Netflix. The four-part drama tells the story of a father and his son who's been arrested for murder. The plot centres on the 13-year-old Jamie's radicalisation towards misogyny. The impact of the drama has been felt across this country too, with Taoiseach Simon Harris telling The Dáil that should be screened in schools across the country. Take a listen.
I think the programme Adolescence has really provided a glimpse into how toxic influences are filling a void in young men's lives. In fact, I believe adolescents should be compulsory viewing in all our secondary schools right across this country. Social media has such an influence on young lives. These so-called influencers are feeding young men a warped view of what it is to be a man. They're normalising behaviour that is totally and utterly unacceptable. And everybody in this house, we should speak with one voice in relation to this, not social media influencers, social pariahs is what they are.
Now, Kieran O'Connor, a senior analyst at the Institute of Strategic Dialogue, has been taking a look at what the Taoiseach there referred to as toxic influences. And we caught up earlier and I began by asking him where, you know, in terms of like large platforms to video games, are young boys and young men encountering this very problematic content online?
This is something that I and my colleagues are seeing more and more of in our work every day. What we're seeing in Ireland, across Europe, across the world, is a troubling trend. More and more young men in particular are being drawn into online spaces that fuel anger, grievances, in some cases extremism. Much of this radicalization is happening in plain sight through social media platforms like YouTube and TikTok and Discord, which perhaps doesn't get the same attention that a lot of the other major mainstream platforms do. There's kind of two pillars to how this, I suppose, materializes. On the one hand, you have algorithms that recommend more of what you engage with, or the rationale or calculation these algorithms are making of what it thinks you will be interested in. And this can lead young men from edgy humor or self-help videos into much darker, more radical content. So platforms can amplify this and push content that's engaging but is also rooted in anger, outrage, anti-woke sentiment.
And those recommenders and algorithms work well because ultimately these are young men, young boys, often just trying to find a sense of connection, find their tribe. These algorithms and recommenders are ultimately filling a void and bringing them to what they believe might be more like-minded communities.
Exactly, and that's that kind of second pillar that I was going to get there, the idea of peer networks, communities who support this worldview and reinforce the perspective offered. I mean, a key part of what that pipeline might be from edgy humour towards more corrosive opinions is what's called the manosphere, this loose network of influencers and communities that speak to young men's, I suppose, lived challenges, but often push rigid, sometimes toxic ideas of masculinity, misogyny, or even opposition to feminism. And they tell young men that the world is stacked against them. They build a community around a type of victim narrative and encourage men to reclaim control or reject weaknesses. And at its extreme, it can blend into even more violent ideologies.
So those are the gateways, large and small platforms, community groups, which then over time, through the filtering, the algorithms, the recommenders, is then producing more and more videos and topics and conversations that might then bring them into the world of the Andrew Tates and the likes, which is then starting this manipulative work that we then see, unfortunately, play out in the world sometimes of domestic violence and what we're seeing in a Netflix story like Adolescence.
Yeah, entirely, yes. And the kind of worldview that is put forward by figures like Andrew Tate or otherwise, it is one that centres that kind of experience of young men, but one that promotes an idea of anti-women, anti-mainstream type of thinking and can push people towards violent ideologies. And really what makes this especially effective is that it offers a kind of belonging, a story that helps young men perhaps make sense of their own frustrations. And if you're a young man who feels alienated or powerless, these spaces can feel quite empowering. They can help you deal with your own insecurities or own anxieties about, well, your place in the world growing up in Ireland or elsewhere.
The other space it can bring young men, young boys into is the world, of course, of pornography. How problematic is that becoming, Ciarán O'Connor?
When you think about the manosphere, first of all, there, regardless of pornography, there's some very corrosive, harmful attitudes towards sex and sexual practices and things like this. I mean, about 10 years ago, there was a very popular manosphere influencer arguing, he claimed it was a parody, but arguing for the legalization of rape on private property. So those kinds of very harmful opinions are very normal within that manosphere community. And then, yes, when you look at pornography as a topic then as well, what we have here, I mean, the levels of usage amongst young people are so large, and the kinds of depictions and scenarios and realities that are being created in pornography are not real, are not reflective of what the normal human experience is for young people. And you have to wonder, what kind of attitudes is that then instilling in our young people, in people who are trying to form their own beliefs and understandings of the world and in interacting with people in a romantic sense as well.
There's a lot of potential solutions here, Ciarán. You know, the spectrum ranges from more regulations of social media up to then, you could argue, literacy in schools around media literacy, algorithmic literacy, and then so much in between when it comes to parental responsibility, the role of policymakers. Where do you think, though, the quickest wins lie at this moment in that long spectrum of solutions?
I think at this day and age, I think we're all quite aware of how social media platforms can create a distorted sense of reality via algorithms and the way they curate feeds on things you might engage with. What a show or a program like Adolescence has done very well or very effectively is bring that into the clear light of day for parents, I think, in particular of young men. So that is part of, I suppose, the kind of media or digital literacy impact of a program like Adolescence. And that's what we need more of. We need greater understanding, greater awareness of young people to use their critical thinking faculties when engaging with online content. And essentially, I suppose, helping them understand that not everything they see is real online, not everything they see is accurate online, and helping them be kind of safer and more responsible, safer users of online platforms too. But then it really does come back to the community outreach and supports that we offer young people, that offer them mental health support, offer them positive role models, and offer them people to listen to and to not shame them, but to guide them through their development as well. And yes, running through the core of all this is better platform accountability that was so desperately needed in this topic and so many others too.
Finally and briefly, Ciarán O'Connor, do you think the show Adolescence should be shown in schools as suggested by the Taoiseach this week?
I would agree with that, yes. And perhaps a show like this is the starting point, is the entry point for conversations for young people and how they use social media platforms, but also how social media platforms use them as well, and hopefully create a kind of greater awareness of that sensibility.
Okay, Ciarán O'Connor, Senior Analyst with the Institute of Strategic Dialogue. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Minister Charlie McConlogue, you've been listening to Ciarán O'Connor there. The writer behind Adolescence, Jack Thorne, this week urged the British Prime Minister to rather urgently consider a smartphone ban in schools and a digital age of consent, similar to Australia, which has passed a law banning children under the age of 16 from using social media. The writer went on to suggest extending that to all smartphone use and gaming. I don't know if you've had a chance to watch Adolescence, but would you agree with the writer that more urgent action is now required, like governments here in Ireland?
I think this has to be a real priority for government, because certainly while we know in terms of the digital technology and social media, how it can be a force for good, it can also be a real source of harm. And that's why, from a policy perspective, we have to make sure that there is good policy and governance, and that we continue as well to make sure that we hold platforms accountable for what is actually on communicated and available on their platforms. And it's important that while there's a discussion happening globally now at the moment, that we remain very strong only of the line of making sure that there's strong controls there. But also I think it's about ensuring now as well that through our communities and through our schools and through our public policy that we work to make sure that there is positive role models in place and that young people can belong to their communities. And I know, for example, this morning I attended a local sporting training in a local GAA club in Burt. I know, for example, Donegal GAA today are running a conference as well on positive mental health for young people and young teenagers, and that's reflective of the type of work that goes on in sporting organisations, communities across the country, and that's really important. But also the safety piece has to be very much to the fore here. And I think the discussion in the Dáil during the week in relation to adolescents and the learning from that, making sure that in terms of young people, we're working to equip them to understand what's going on. That's going to be an important
Minister,
part
can
of
I
the
ask
piece
though,
of this as well.
You'll be familiar with the same statistics showing Ireland now has the sixth highest rate of female rape victims in Europe, an average of 25 victims per 100,000 women each year. Like, we constantly look at these statistics, we constantly see the court headlines. Then you could extrapolate and link back to a fictional story like adolescence. Do you draw those thread lines that there's something fundamentally wrong right now in our society? And everything you're talking about, all very admirable, but it's not urgently going to get to grips with what is happening for young boys and the filter bubbles that Ciarán O'Connor has talked about just now.
Yeah, I think undoubtedly that is a big source of the challenge here. And it is something that the government has been taking seriously as well. And indeed, we published our zero tolerance strategy to tackling domestic sexual and gender-based violence in June 2022 and established QN at the start of 2024 as well to coordinate policy development around this as well, because we recognise very much that there needs to be a coherent approach. We need to learn and understand what's happening at the moment.
Okay.
And as a state, work to respond to that at all levels, right from community right up to our national laws and indeed wider international European laws as well in relation to digital safety.
We've had a text message in from one listener. I watched adolescence in one sitting. As the parent of three young sons in late teens, early 20s and two daughters, late teens, it was fascinating as it was so complex. It isn't a simple story, but it shines a light on all our roles here, men and women, boys and girls, but big one is regulation of those algorithms and a sense of relief that so far it seems that we've quote-unquote, gotten away with it in this house. But I'm far from sure and I need to be on this and get more engaged. And Lynn Boylan, there's that moment, I know you've watched Adolescence, where the father says, I thought he was safe upstairs in his bedroom.
Yeah, no, and it's a powerful programme and I do encourage everybody to watch it, but particularly more than the young men to watch it, to youth workers, parents and politicians to watch the documentary. And I think, you know, the algorithms of the social media platforms and those recommender systems need to be shut down. They absolutely need to be regulated, because these social media platforms have promised for years that they would come to grips with it. And what we've seen is them going in the opposite direction now, both Elon Musk, Mark Zuckerberg talking about need for masculinity in the workplace. X has become toxic. So we know from a survey that the Irish Council of Civil Liberties and Uplift did was that 82% of people want those recommender systems shut down.
And with the learnings out of a drama, not a documentary, as we've seen with Netflix, okay, there's responsibilities of the platforms and regulators. But we always then come back to what's the responsibility of parents, but also schools and policymakers.
I was going to get to this. So one is the social media platforms absolutely have to be regulated. Interestingly, the EU is trying to look at deregulation now. But we need to invest in our youth services and in our mental health services for young people as well. And there is no urgency in this. In the last government, the National Youth Council of Ireland talked about needing €15 million to fund the youth services to go out and to address, because young boys, boys are looking for where do they fit in modern society, and they're having an identity crisis, and there are fantastic schemes like the Boys in the Making project, but the government only funded €7 million for youth services. We have 500 young people waiting on mental health services in this country, so you have to invest in it so that we can, I suppose, produce a counter to the social media platforms. And also so to do that,
okay.
But you know, I'm going to invest in it and fund it.
Okay, yeah. And Minister, I will let you come back in on the question of investment in youth services, but Padraig Tobin.
Yeah, so Ireland has become a much more dangerous place. Sexual assault and rape have doubled in the last 10 years. The number of children being abused by children has significantly increased in the last while. And I'm disappointed that the question that you asked of the Minister, he gave no concrete commitment to anything in the word salad of a response that he gave to you. This is far too serious of an issue for the government just to speak in serious tones but offer absolutely nothing in relation to this. We do need to get to a situation where we're taking access to this material out of children's hands. We have to actually have a conversation about saying that a child as young as 10 in this country can access material that a generation ago would have been illegal for an adult to consume. That children are Googling for Santa Claus and hardcore pornography at the same time in our country at the moment. That we are distorting the children's understanding of their own sexuality, of relationships, of their own image in a serious way. And I do think we do need to get...
Where would you start? Do you think the Australian model is the right one, that we're going to have to really think about very severe bans from the age of 14, 15,
well,
16?
It is Aintu's policy that children should not have smartphones or social media until the age of 14. And it is going to be difficult and it is going to be hard for parents, etc. But it's too powerful of a material and a content for children, never mind adults, to be able to control. The other point I will say is that, like, Aintu brought a bill to the Dáil which actually seeks to prevent companies like Pornhub selling content to children. We brought it to the government a number of times and the government have shrugged their shoulders. They refuse to act upon it. So it's not like the government are completely, okay, you know...
I'm going to let the minister just back in first for a moment.
What is absolutely critical, though, is to teach young people how to critically engage and to understand when disinformation and what these influencers are trying to take advantage of.
Because there's a lot there. Let me just bring the minister back in.
Accessing
so,
the internet.
Minister, just your response on lack of investment in youth services, sense of urgency, and that piece there on literacy, critical thinking, investment in schools.
Yeah, well, listen, I mean, first of all, in relation to schools, I mean, I think the government has been leading out in relation to that, in relation to the seeking to remove phones from schools, working with schools to support them in doing that, and indeed providing the funding to support that as well. We've also been investing,
pouches,
and in terms of the investment that's in place now for youth service and, for example, sports services, it's stronger than it's ever been, and we're seeing that impact in communities across the country. And that's not only empowering the development of services at local level through those clubs, for example, it's also ensuring that young people are engaging and have access to really positive role models who work within those clubs and provide a sense of community and leadership to young people too. And that's really important.
50% of the funding that's required
also,
for youth
we
services.
Have, and unfortunately, we're not an island in relation to this, but we have been and will continue to be at the forefront of seeking to have this and the issue of digital safety and regulation addressed internationally and particularly within the European Union to make sure people can be kept,
else.
To make sure that people can be,
it?
Kept, be kept safe. Because in this world, Patter, we're not an island and we have to make sure that the international companies
and make decisions.
And listen,
we
this is an issue which the government have been leading out on, but it is an emerging issue and one which we will continue to work on and which we'll be open to ideas on as well, and bringing everyone together to see how we can keep young people in particular safe here.
Lynn Boylan, there may be teachers and parents, guardians at home listening to the idea of showing this series, this drama series, Adolescence, in schools, but going, well, we don't have the training when it comes to SPHE, and parents themselves may not feel like they're equipped. Like, where do you start if you're someone at home listening today but worried about the kid up in their bedroom?
No, and we do need to give the resources for parents, you know, that the parents can be able to access, do you know what I mean? And just to, I suppose, familiarise themselves with what the symbols mean and, you know, the language that's out there. What is the manosphere? What are all of these terms? You know, so parents do need to have access to those resources, and the government could be providing those. But what is really, really important is for the young people, and at a very young age, I'm talking about starting in primary school, about teaching the literacy for the internet, because the reality is young people, we cannot put that genie back in the bottle. So yes, we absolutely need to regulate the social media platforms, but young people will get access. I mean, when I was a child, pornography, porn magazines were
you
were
say
found
we've
in
a lot of people
as well.
Not to the same extent. They're not to the same extent. And I'm not excusing it, Patter, but young people need to be able to critically engage and to think about the information that's been put out.
Patter was clear earlier, no phones before 14. We've a lot of people texting in right now going, 14 is too young for smartphones. Mm. Believe me, I know. Another saying it should be 16. Someone saying there's no mention at all of parental responsibility in setting boundaries. What do you think is the appropriate age? If we accept, of course, responsibilities lie in regulations and policymakers and the social platforms, but back to schools and parents, what's the age?
I think parents, it's with any of these things, you will have parents who will give their children phones. It's the same with scrambler bikes and all of this. There will be parents who will do that regardless. And so we need to empower the young people to be able to find where is their place in society? What does it mean to be masculine in this era? And how those influencers are preying on them and using their vulnerabilities to monetize them.
I agree with Lynn to a certain extent. Like, you know, kids at 16 are going to drink, okay? They're always going to drink at 16 and 17 years old. That doesn't mean we don't identify an age on which it is healthy to drink afterwards and that we introduce laws to make sure that that happens. If you don't have any structure in this at all, it's going to be the case where it'll default to younger and younger. And in terms of education and this, like, there is a natural rebelliousness in young males as boys. Do you know what I mean? So, like, no matter what the teacher's going to tell you at school, you're going to obviously express and learn and behave in a different fashion in relation to this. So there are materials that we know that are significantly dangerous. The longitudinal information is there that especially hardcore violent pornography to young boys at a young age leads to violence in their later lives. And we need to make sure that we introduce laws to stop young children as young as 8, 9 and 10 consuming that.
Okay, a topic no doubt we'll be coming back to again. And after the break, we'll be talking to Keenan Murray, one of the victims and survivors of Michael Shine, as they call for a commission of investigation into the abuse at Our Lady of Lourdes Hospital in Drogheda. We'll be back after these.
Saturday with Conor Mungon on RTE Radio 1.